White, Wellington, New Zealand, July 5, 1893. Dear son Willie, this day has been important to me. Sister Caro came last night, in company with brother Lyndon. This morning she said she must leave at noon, and my teeth must come out in the morning. So she performed the operation, which I endured bravely. She felt so bad over it, she was in great pain, and after the teeth were out, she was trembling like an aspen leaf. I got her into my easy chair and gave her a cordial to give her a little strength. All we had to give anyone was cholera mixture. July 7th. The pain was not so very bad last Wednesday, the day they were drawn, as today, Friday. Emily has just been working with me, giving me a sitz bath and foot bath in my chamber. Last night and today, I had fomentations over left side of my face. I should think the old root of one tooth was in my head still, getting up all the pus possible. The abscess was broken, and I shall probably have a serious time of it for a few days. I am glad the last tooth is out of my head. I have been very careful not to take cold, yet I suffer much pain, and now feel sick all over. But this also will pass away. Yesterday, Elder Israel purchased two rugs for me at a sale. He paid only $15 each. One is for you, a present from Mother. Now, I write this that you need not purchase anything of the kind. These are good, and I shall enjoy you having one of them. If it had only been purchased, I would have sent it to you and had you deliver the one you have to Marion. But do not let go the one you have while you are traveling, for I cannot consent to it. After you get this one, then we will let Marion have the one you have now, to use in any way she pleases. Sister Caro says 2 months must elapse before I have a permanent set of teeth. Meanwhile, I will write as fast as I possibly can when I get over this distressing occasion. 2:15. I am interrupted in this letter. My housemaid brings me a letter from Willie White. I am so glad. I will write this much and then read letter. I have just read your letter to me. Will say, let Brother Forster have some dried fruit and Brother Stephen all he can use. I gladly donate the fruit to Brother Forster and let the school have some. That bag of peaches that we used some from, I want kept for me. It is about the only fruit I care for. Stephen thinks much of the raisins. Please supply him with what he can use freely. See that a good mess is brought here. I would have you give to Brother Stockton the number of cans, 2-quart cans, of fruit which they so kindly and generously sent to me while I was at Preston. And if you can help them to some dried fruit, do so. The peaches I prize most of anything. But you be sure that Marion and Fanny have some of that choice dried fruit, and give Fanny some canned fruit. I would be glad to help Uncle Stephen. I have designed to give him $5. When I was in Preston, they kept sending me eggs liberally and gave me corn. She helped me so. I thought a time would come when they would be in a pinch. Now let them not be neglected. I cannot let him suffer for anything. He may draw from the office, if necessary, if you approve, $2 each week until he sees better times. We have been having 3 days of rain, very continuous, and a heavy blow. I would be much pleased to be in Sydney if this is where the Lord would have me, but you see for 2 months I am a toothless old lady. I can talk, some say here, as well as ever, but I shall not try to talk anyway. It is too much exertion. Sister Tuxford and Emily have gone down to a private sale to see if they can get me a fur cape at any reasonable figures. My shoulders must be kept warm. Brother Wilson and wife are in Hastings. We sent you letters the very first mail. I have written you a little bit every mail we heard of that went to Australia, and when Brother Lyndon went, sent you a letter and manuscript for Fanny and Marion, some on Life of Christ and some for Fanny. That on Life of Christ can be used for articles for the paper. You will see, when Brother Lyndon arrives. I am not in any condition to leave here until I have my teeth. The Lord is at work in Napier, and Sister Caro pleads hard for a few weeks' stay there, but it is rain, rain and harsh weather, nearly all the time in Napier. Brother Lyndon can tell you I feel that I am now in the very line of my duty. We are very pleasantly situated, not a burden anywhere in the house. All the anxieties come from without. Edson's letter cost me many restless nights. poor boy. Oh, that he could see where he is drifting. I have now read your letter to Brother and Sister Wilson, and I say amen in regard to Brother and Sister Anderson. That looks light. I have not one reason to pull up stakes here, and last Wednesday fixed myself so that I am bound here for 2 months. We have had mostly beautiful weather, and I am comfortably situated. Sister Tuxford changes not. She is so full of pleasure because we are here, and she makes no complaints whatever. We could not be better situated than we are, and we will not get one bit uneasy. I would like to labor in Sydney for the little flock there, but last Wednesday decided that question. I must live on soft food now for a time. My appetite has been good. I lived almost wholly on shipbread, a new kind we did not have when you were here. I felt the worst to give it up. Shipbread and apples have been my principal food, and it is so good. I enjoy it so much. The Lord takes care of me this winter, I believe it. This is the third day it has been raining. I have written as fast as I can, fearing that my mouth may trouble me so that I cannot write. Evening after the Sabbath, July 8th. It is a beautiful day after the storm. I am happy to report that I passed a very comfortable night and a pleasant, restful Sabbath. Did not suffer severe pain as on Friday. I prayed over the matter and asked the Lord to help me through this trial, and He has done so. The Lord has heard my prayer. I am so thankful we have one to whom we may take all our trials and all our pains and difficulties. I have kept my rooms through this uncomfortable time with me. I think I would not say any words in reference to Sister Anderson's coming to this place. She will not be the one who can do justice in this place. She is no bookkeeper and lacks other essential qualifications in regard to order and conscientiously caring for things which are not her own. She will not do here. Let this proposition be laid on the table. As to their going to Sydney, if that is best, so let it be. I am comfortably situated. Keep fire in room. Sister Brown is still at her mother's. Nina Piper here does well. We tell Martha to remain at home until she is strong. It is next to impossible for a person of weak lungs to work here and go in and out of that cold, drafty woodshed and not endanger health and life. We are all happily situated. We pray night and morning for you, my son, that the Lord will give you wisdom and that He will lead and guide in the matter relating to the Echo Office. We have the school upon our hearts, crying to the Lord to help the teachers and the students. We believe He will preside in the school. We pray for Wellington. We believe the Lord will work in this city. Satan cannot always have his own way. We see the necessity of a house of worship being erected where we can, in this way, have a standing place and give character to the work. The ministers are holding the people, filling their minds with unreasonable prejudice. They have, like the ancient nation, the Jews, taken away the key of knowledge. They will not enter in themselves, and them that would enter in, they hinder. But the Lord lives and reigns. He has His eye upon Wellington. There are many honest souls here who long for the revival of the Spirit of God. They feel the dearth of the Spirit of God. God means the banner of truth shall be uplifted here. He will work in His own way and in His own times. This deep and dark prejudice will not always hold the minds of the honest. The Lord is rich in resources. He will open ways for us, and His salvation will be revealed. I think if we just hold on by faith and walk humbly with God, we will see a church raised up here. Although we shall be obliged to leave before we may be permitted to see any encouraging results, yet the hold upon God must not relax. The truth now is in disrepute, but it will not always be thus, but will triumph. Elder Israel feels much pleased because he is improving in health. He has not been able to go out only a few times to Petone and the hall and hold some meetings. I am anxious to see work done by spiritual persons from house to house. There must be an organized effort of first-class laborers in coming close to the people. I see no other way to break up this deceptive power of the ministers upon the people. I think there must be planning to this end. When Sister Caro came to this place from Napier, she heard a conversation between two ministers stating how the people were in an unsettled condition where McCulloch has been laboring, and the response was that since Mr. Starr and Mrs. White came to Wellington, The minds of the people were unsettled, and this is the way it is everywhere they go. Elder Israel thought he had gained a victory in getting our publications into the Bible bookstore. They were received without an objection, but in 2 or 3 weeks, Elder Israel was told the proprietor of the bookstore refused to offer them for sale or have them in the store. So this small entering wedge is thrust out. Even Steps to Christ they refused to offer for sale. The agent keeping the store received them without an objection, but the proprietor utterly refused them as if they contained poison. When prejudice and priestcraft assume such proportions as in Wellington, Satan's special seat seems to be here. When opposition to truth is so marked, it is a positive sign God has many souls in this place that Satan is fearful of losing, and there must be a charge upon the enemy. I hope you will be able to accomplish much good in this journey, and when you get through, please return to us. We will receive you gladly. I have yet to see for myself the terrible climate that Wellington has the name of possessing. We are well situated here and are better pleased with the accommodations than we have been since we came to this country, taking it all around. I would not, even if my teeth were not out, venture to Ormondville, to Palmerston, or any out-of-the-way country places where Brother McCullough is. If he had remained at Hastings and Napier, his labors might have amounted to something. I do not think they will amount to much where he has been laboring. From the letters that have been received, he seems to consider the people are so low down, it will require a wonderful power to raise them. Now I cannot see, as it is my duty to go to these places. When it is especially wet and cloudy and damp, one such visit might unfit me for labor for months. I have had some further talk with Sister Tuxford. I asked her a plain statement. She says Sister Anderson will never do in such a position as this office at any time or in any place. She is very careless and loose and disorderly with her own room and her own belongings. Sister McCullough and Sister Anderson had the use of the rooms furnished by Elder Israel. Neither of them took any care of things. They were very unfaithful stewards. When Sister Anderson was talked with by Sister Tuxford, she told her to mind her own business. She did not consider it her place to have special care with other people's furniture and goods. She had told me this some weeks ago, but I thought you should know in regard to these things. Sister Tuxford says Elder Daniels knows about matters in her course of action in connection with Brother McCullough. When she was in Wellington giving Bible readings, she would not receive counsel of anyone, but followed her own way and did not observe proper care to abstain from all appearance of evil. Sister Tuxford says if she comes into this mission, she will store all her goods, for she would never let them be where there would be such persons as Sisters McCullough and Anderson to treat her goods as they abuse the goods of Elder Israel. Brother Israel mentioned the name of Sister Edith Brendan of Auckland. He says she is an excellent missionary and a good bookkeeper, and she will be conscientious and careful with the things she handles. Sister Tuxford says the same. I write you this because there are too many after the selfish Edith Donaldson style. I shall tell Wilson not to mention to Anderson and wife anything in regard to Sister Anderson's coming into this place. I mean as bookkeeper and to occupy Sister Tuxford's place for a few months. A letter just read from Brother Anderson. He says he is very weak, but he thinks the baths are doing him some good. It may be best for him to come to Sydney. The change of climate may be an advantage to him. Monday morning, July 10th. I have slept more hours since my teeth were out than for months. I have a wondrous sore mouth, but am trying not to get cold. Do be careful and do not expose yourself. Get good warm stockings and change them as often as twice per week. Please do not forget to bring me those scratchbooks that were left in the school building. In much love, Mother. Would it not be well to make Sister Ebdahl a present of some dried fruit from me? She has been very kind to me. Mother, please try the dried apples. If good, they will be almost as good as peaches in my estimation, but this does not mean that you are not to part with them. Only save some for my use. Mother,